Continuing on our lesson on the ingredients in the name of Jesus Christ, this will be a part two. Last week we got all the way through a wonderful counselor and the mighty God. As we said there, the ingredients that are in the name of Jesus Christ, the front of your bulletin shows a big old pot, and in that pot is the name Jesus Christ. And then each and every one of those titles that are there: Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Salvation, Strength, Life, Wonderful, Prince of Peace, Counselor. All of those are the ingredients that are in the name. Now, as we said on the back of the bulletin, an ingredient is a substance that forms part of a mixture. Now, the name of Jesus Christ is the mixture. All of those titles are a part of that mixture. Now, the problem is people want to replace those ingredients and put something else in there. And I'm here to tell you, the name of Jesus don't need no help. It don't need no replacing. You don't need to replace none of those ingredients. You need to let Jesus be who he's supposed to be, okay? he's put it this way, and if we do it the way he said it, it'll work. The problem comes when we start trying to do things the way we want to do them, and that's when we mess things up. All right? So this morning we want to pick up on the Everlasting Father. The Everlasting Father. In the name of Jesus is a relationship. The Lord's name establishes a relationship with humanity. A relationship that Adam lost. Adam lost that relationship when he transgressed in the garden. Jesus said that you are of your father, the devil. In other words, you took on another relationship. You took on another relationship. And you became the child of a liar. When you became the child of Satan, you became a child of a liar. And not just a liar, but also a murderer. All right? So Jesus is telling us, I've come that you might get born again and come up under my family. Come in the family of Jesus Christ. And the benefit of being in the family of Jesus Christ is he promises to be an everlasting father. That is in the name, all right? Now, the first scripture that we have for that, each one of you get one so we can move through this, is 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. In verse number 18. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse number 18. And I believe that scripture is going to focus on the role or the importance of sanctification. The role or the importance of sanctification in establishing a relationship with Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 6 and 18. What does it say there?
And I will be a father unto you.
Yes.
And you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty.
So the Lord's desire is to establish a relationship with his people. You notice it says, and will be. So you should be asking yourself, what is before that word and? What is before that word and? And the writer has put the value of sanctification. Verses number 17 says, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate. Now the writer is telling us to abandon your father from birth.
Right.
Abandon your father from birth and come and be a part of my family. Mm-hmm. All right? Abandon your father from birth. Now he's not talking about your physical family.
No.
He's talking about spiritual.
Right.
Abandon your father from birth. Who was your father from birth? The devil. The devil was your father from birth. And you need to abandon him. You need to come out of his house, forsake all of his ways, unlearn all of his lessons. Unlearn all of the lessons that your daddy taught you, and learn Jesus. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and do what? Learn. Abandon everything you learned from that devil and learn about Jesus. And come on into the family of Jesus. Jesus said, when you come out from among them and be ye separate, separate yourself from that Satan's family.
Right.
Separate yourself from Satan's family. Satan's family is the world.
Yes.
All that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Those are the lessons from Satan. If Satan is your father, those are the lessons that your daddy teaches you. How to be intoxicated, overcome with lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and lust and the pride of life. And Jesus said, this is not me. This is of the world. All that's in that world. And Jesus is telling you, come out from among them. And be ye separate, saith the Lord, right? Touch not the unclean thing, right? Touch not the unclean thing. And Jesus says, I will do what? I'll bring you into my family. I will bring you into my family. I will establish a relationship with you. Now notice the Lord's relationship is described as being everlasting. He doesn't call Satan's relationship with you everlasting, because one day you're going to be separated from your daddy and you're going to have to go to hell. And I'm going to let you know your daddy's going to let you burn before he gets there. All right? Satan is not going to go to hell with you. He's got a little bit more time to work, and he's going to work as long as he can to get all the children he can get. But Jesus describes him as a temporary father, because the Lord says all the souls at the end of the day belong to me. Satan tries to rob and steal you and claim ownership over you and hovers over you the umbrella of sin. But Jesus says, whatever the devil tries to claim as his own, I'm going to take it all back. And he said, all the souls are what? Mine. And the soul that sinneth, it shall die. So you ought to want to say, I don't want a relationship with the devil. Because the devil, first of all, he don't love me. He's not going to be with me forever and ever. And the only thing he's going to give me is death. Because that's the wage of sin. The wage of sin is what? Death. But Jesus describes himself as being an everlasting father. In verses number 18, I believe it says, and will be, right? And will be a father unto you. And you shall be my what? Sons and my daughters, saith the Lord. Now, if you go over to St. John, who's got 1 and 12? All right. Now, I don't want y'all to don't make this a competition. Let's be spiritual. All right. This is the word of God. So let's just read the word for learning. OK. All right. So St. John 1 and 12 says what? All right. So go ahead and read. Right. Now, everybody's not going to receive Jesus. That's why that writer says, but as what? As now, you all that went out for the outreach on yesterday, that should have been a practical lesson for you. A practical lesson. The Lord gave you hands-on experience on this scripture. You see that? Because yesterday, what did you have? You had an invitation. You had the word of God in your hand and in your heart. And your goal was to just share that word with somebody. But you had people that willingly said, no, I don't want this. Some people heard you, looked out the window, and said, don't, I'm not coming to the door. Some people said, no, I don't want it. Whatever you got, I don't want it. Keep it. I don't want no part of it. I don't have time for that mess. So the writer is telling him, but as many as received him. Now, how many doors did you knock on? Your whole street, whole line of doors, whole line of people that you went to, and you don't see not one walk through the door this morning, right? So that lets you know more are going to reject him than receive him. That's why you thank the Lord that you are a part of the few. Scripture say, but as many as did what? Received him, right? But as many as received him, to what? To them. Not to everybody. Everybody's not going to establish a relationship with Jesus. Only those that do what? Receive him. But as many as do what? Receive him. To them. Right? Y'all got that? What did he say there? To them gave he what?
gave power or authority or the right to become the what? You got to let the Lord establish a relationship with you. Every prayer service, every time you come in and study the word, every time you come in to praise the Lord, what do you think he's doing with you? He's establishing a relationship with you. He's trying to let you know that you are my child and I'm your daddy. You are my child and I am your authority figure. I am the one that you need to show respect and honor to. This is what I went over to the saints a couple of weeks ago, and I've been saying it over and over again. When people talk about they want to be saved, they have to understand the value of the relationships Jesus has put in your life before you get to know Jesus. Who did he put in front of you? He put a mother and a father in front of you. And Jesus said, honor your mother and your father. If you cannot do that, how are you going to honor Jesus? How can you say you love Jesus whom you've never seen and hate your brother, hate your mother, hate your father who you see every day? You have no respect for them. How are you going to have respect for Jesus? You're trying to damage the relationship that you have with your physical family. How can you establish a relationship with the spiritual family? You cannot do that. Lord already told you, even in the commandments that he gave, to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Your neighbor is that human person that walks beside you, that talks to you. You can't be an island, an isolated person. You've got to get out there and communicate with the people, right? Establish relationships with the people. And do it in Jesus. Do it with the right heart, with the right mind. Lord, I've done told you all of the commandments, all of the prophet's word. It hangs on that word called love. All of it, all of it. If you can't love people, how are you going to love Jesus? Especially when you're talking about the church. You say, well, Scudder, I ain't got no relationship with my mama. I ain't got no relationship with my daddy. I don't bother with them. I don't want nothing to do with them. But then you want to get close to Jesus. It don't work that way. You can't get close to Jesus and disrespect those that are close to you, who the Lord gave you commandment. The Lord gave you commandment to honor them. He said, honor your mother and your father, right? Come on. Y'all don't believe me. Go on over there to the book of Ephesians. I want everybody to make sure they get this in their mind. Ephesians chapter number 6. 6 and verse number 1. Let's start at 6 and number 1.
Children obey the parents.
Yes.
The Lord.
Yes.
This is right.
Yes.
Honor thy father.
You see that? What did the writer say there?
Honor
them. Right. Honor your father. And you can't separate the parent. I know as young folk, we try to manipulate that role, that responsibility. We said, oh, I'm going to work mama against daddy and work daddy against mama. Jesus said, no. I see you. I see what you're doing. I got your number. I got your number already. He said, and the Lord said, that's not how it works. You got to honor both of them. You say, well, the Scudder, they're sinners. They act like devils. Lord didn't say act like them. He said honor them. Respect them. Give them the honor and the respect that they do. When they speak, don't give them no back lip. If they're wrong, just shut your mouth and listen to what they say. Now, if they're wrong, they say, well, go on down there and play my numbers. You know, that's wrong. And you can say respectfully, now, Mom, Dad, you know I don't do that. You know that that's not the life that I live anymore. The Lord called me out of sin. Oh, here you go talking all that sin stuff. Get on out of my house with that mess. All right, I love you, and I'm going to be praying for you. And then go on out the door. Don't argue with them. Don't say, well, load up my pipe for me. No, I'm not going to do that, Mom. I'm not going to do that, Dad. I don't smoke, and I don't want you to smoke.
Because I want you to be able to live a long life and to do, not to put all of those toxics in your body. Well, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm your mama. I'm your daddy. Yes, you are. And I love you. But I'm getting ready to go right now. Right? Honor them. Honor them. Right? Is that what the book say? Other scholars didn't say it. The book said it. Children, obey your parents. But this is right, right? Honor your father and your mother. Why, Jesus? That your days, huh? That your days may be well with you, right? Is that what
they may be well with you.
Uh-huh. That's the truth. You want to live out long. I want to live out all the days that the Lord has promised to me. And I want those days to be what? Well. Huh? That's why you don't let your children disrespect you. Don't let your children dishonor you. Remember, foolishness is bound in the heart of that child. And that child's tried to disrespect you, call them out. Tell them to shut their mouth and don't open it up no more. Why? Because you don't want them to do what? Disrespect you. If you let them disrespect you, you'll cut their days off. You'll make their life short. And it won't be well. Huh? You'll be wondering why their lives are so messed up. Because you let too much foolishness go on in your house. You didn't do what the Lord told you to do to be the parents. And to train them up in the way that they should go. Not the way that they want to go. The way that they should go. You've got to demand that your children honor and respect you. I'm not a toy. I'm not your best friend. I'm not a play. This is not a play. This is a place where you have to learn how to respect authority. And when I do it the way the Lord says for it to be done, when you try to develop a relationship with Jesus, you won't take Jesus for a joke. Jesus ain't nothing to play around with. You depend on the Lord for life, for activity, for the moving of your body, for the length of your days, right? You depend on the Lord. You can't be flip-lip with Jesus. So how you going to be flip with your parents? You can't do that. You can't do that. That's not biblical. It's not in the book. The book tells you what to do. Honor your mother and your father, right? That it might be well with you. That your days might be long, right? Go on over to Exodus chapter number 20. Chapter number 20 and verse number 12. 20 and 12. Oh, yes. This is a good thought right here, saints. Talking about establishing a relationship with Jesus. Everybody wants that. I think I was telling somebody that the other day. Everybody wants to be have a relationship with Jesus. But then they don't want to do what the Lord say do. They want the blessings, but they don't want to do what the Lord say do. Say, well, Lord, I want all these blessings you got in store for me. But I want to do what I want to do. Lord said, no, don't work that way. Don't work that way. You got to do specifically what I say, how I say it. And then you can reap the blessings. Man, walk up right before me. No good thing will I withhold from him, right? I would that you be in health and prosper, even as your what? Your soul prosper. So you got to do things the way that the Lord say for it to be done first. And then you can reap the blessings. All right? What is Exodus, what I say? 20 and 12? All right. Yes, there it is.
That our days may be long upon the land.
Yes.
The Lord our God giveth.
That's right. Now jump over to Matthew chapter number 15. 15 and verse number 1. Start at 15 and 1. Now, we're still talking about establishing a relationship with Jesus. All right? You know how we use that term, being born again. Being born again. Well, when you become born again, you come in as a newborn babe in the family of Jesus. Huh? You come in as a newborn babe. You got to get rid of that baby, those baby tendencies that you were born with. Those baby tendencies that you were born with where you were the wicked. The wicked were estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born. Speaking now, when you come into Jesus, you think Jesus want a lying baby? Jesus don't want no lying baby. That's why he told you to get born again first. Get the Holy Ghost down inside of you first. Before you start talking about you want to call Jesus your daddy. Call Jesus your heavenly father. Jesus said you need some power first. You need some authority over all of the works of the devil. You need me to be down on the inside of you first. So you can learn how to live.
Learn how to think. Know where you are going in life, right? Come on. What did I say? Matthew what? 15:1.
Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees.
Yes.
Of Jerusalem.
Yes.
Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders?
Uh-huh.
For they wash not their hands.
This is what we're talking about in our Bible lesson. The letter of the law versus the what? The spirit. Now, what are they arguing about? The letter of the law. They're trying to hold you to the letter of the law and abandoning the spirit that was behind that law. Right? Now, what's the spirit that's behind that law? We're going to sum it right up real quick. Righteousness. Doing things right. Being holy and being sanctified. First of all, I can't hold you to a holy or righteous standard when you don't have no Holy Ghost inside of you. You got sin inside of you. And it's impossible for me to hold you to a holy standard when you got sin dwelling inside of you. That's why when people come into the church, the first word we try to get into their brains is repent. Turn away from that wicked stuff. Turn away from the wicked mind frame. You will never put off those pants, women. You will never take off that makeup, women. Men, you will never act like a man is supposed to act. As long as you got that nature inside of you, you need to repent first. When you repent, all of that other dead works will fall off of you. That stuff will release its control from all of your mind. And you'll have a mind to want to walk upright before Jesus and do and say the things that are pleasing in His sight, right? That's the truth, saints. And here you got ungodly men. Ungodly men. You heard what I just said about them? They're ungodly. They don't have Jesus. Yet they're trying to tell you, and you following Jesus, how to obey the word. That's backwards. That's backwards. That's like somebody telling you that they ain't got no driver's license, ain't took no test how to drive. How you gonna tell me how to drive? You ain't even got no license. Oh, but I read the book, but you ain't got no license. Go on and get behind the wheel and see who the man arrests. He gonna lock you up before he locked me up. I'm authorized to drive this vehicle. In other words, I've been born again. I am authorized to be in the Lord's church. I am authorized to tell you what thus says the Lord. You ain't got no Holy Ghost. You're not authorized to tell me what Jesus said, right? It's backwards, isn't it? You ain't even got the Holy Ghost inside of you. Yet you're going to tell me what the Lord said. You don't even know what the Lord said. If you knew what the Lord said, you would have stopped at repent. Huh? You ain't got no Holy Ghost, you would have stopped right there at repent. You would have said, the Lord told me to repent. And I would have said, amen. That's Jesus talking to you, right? But the Lord also said, the Lord ain't said nothing else yet until you do that first. When you do that, then we can move on, right? Repent first, right? Repent first.
Right.
Come on. What's the rest of it say?
And
the elders. Your disciples.
He answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment?
And that with the Lord starting right in the track. Mm-hmm. You talking about what I'm not doing in the word.
Yeah.
Let me hit you with something.
Yeah.
Why are you sinning?
Yeah.
That word transgress means sin.
Right.
Why are you sinning?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you keep on sinning?
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Yeah.
Why do you keep on sinning? Sinning against who? Why do you transgress the commandment? The commandments are the word. The word of God. You done put the word of God down so that you could put your traditions up. So you could talk about what you've been doing all along. You done put the word of God down. And if you put the word of God up, it would have been telling you to repent. Huh? Come on, forget about washing your hands. It would have told you to repent. Huh? Come on, saints. That's what the word says to the sinner. It says repent. You see how the world treated John the Baptist when he was trying to prepare the way of the Lord. Trying to prepare a righteous way. Trying to tell the folks to do what? Repent. Turn from your wicked way. They cut that man's head off. They didn't want to hear his message no more. Thank the Lord Jesus came on the scene. And John said, I must decrease and he must increase. And when they put John in the prison, they thought they silenced his voice. Here comes Jesus saying the same thing. Repent, right? Repent. Turn from your wicked ways. Stop your ungodly behavior. Abandon those devil thoughts. Come out of that family of Satan. Realizing that devil don't want to do nothing to you but kill you. That's what Jesus done told you. The thief cometh not but to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. You say the enemy's attacking my body. Why is he trying to attack your body? He's trying to get to your soul. He can care less about your body. He wants your soul. If he can get your soul, your mind off of Jesus, he's accomplished a mission. He can just stop you from calling on the name of salvation. He knows everything you need is in that name. And if he can just get you to stop calling Jesus, stop thinking about Jesus and concentrate on everything else, he knows your soul will be lost, right? He knows your soul will be lost. He knows your soul will become malnourished. Your soul will get weak. Come on, saints. We're not living in a day and time where we can afford to be weak saints. We need to be strong in the Lord. The devil is attacking on every side, trying to get to our minds. Come on, that's what I'm talking about. He's trying to get to your mind. He ain't trying to get to your body. You know, you be talking about this pain and that pain going on in your body. That devil ain't thinking about your body. He's trying to get to your mind. He knows as long as he makes the pain surface, if he can just get you to stop responding, saying Jesus. But you got to say no. Every time you poke me, every time you try to break me, I'm going to keep on invoking that name Jesus. Why? Because everything I need is in the name, right? I dare not substitute the name of Jesus for all of this world's riches. Just give me Jesus, right? That's the truth. That devil don't want me to have no relationship with the Lord. And he try to get you any way he can. Try to get you any way he can. Stop talking about traditions. Family stuff. Traditions. Ain't got nothing to do with your soul. Hey, you look at all of the words that devil be speaking. It ain't got nothing to do with being born again. Born again of the water and of the spirit. It don't have nothing to do with you turning from your wicked ways. Not trying to point out my wrong. Turn from your wicked ways. Let the wicked forsake his way. The ungodly man, his thoughts, not yours. Worry about yourself, right? And come back to Jesus, right? That's the truth. That devil tries to put the word down and bring up traditions. So when you start focusing on stuff that ain't got nothing to do with your soul, that stuff that you're talking, it ain't going to save your soul. It's not going to preserve your sanctified mind. But what it will do, it'll distract you. Come on, brother. Isn't that what you were saying yesterday? He had everything that he needed, but he could not put it on right. Why? Because his mind was distracted. We just talking about a light bulb. Now, what you think when it comes down to serious things concerning your soul? Don't you think the devil does the same thing? Trying to do what? Distract you? Make you pay attention to stuff that has nothing to do with your soul, right? Has nothing to do with your soul's peace. Has nothing to do with the relationship you're trying to get with Jesus. He do everything he can do to snatch you from out of the Lord's family. He wants you back. That devil wants you back. He wants you to call him daddy one more time. He wants you to humbly submit yourself to his authority. But you have to say, no, I do not belong to you. I'm a child of the king. I belong to Jesus. He your mama and your daddy will forsake you. They will let you down. They will give you bad advice. But Jesus will never leave you. Jesus will never forsake you. Jesus will be right there with you. Jesus don't get Alzheimer's. Jesus don't get dementia. Jesus don't suffer from arthritis. All of these things that you see your loved ones going through, you're not going to find them flaws in Jesus. Our God is perfect. He's got the strength to carry you through. He's got the ability to know who you are. He will call you by your name. He won't forget who you are, right? Now your earthly mother may forget you.
Jesus.
Earthly father may forget you.
Yes.
Huh? Jesus. Earthly mother and father may bring up stuff that happened years ago. And all that stuff you say, well, oh, no. Jesus. That ain't me no more. Yes. They're letting you know they got dementia. Jesus. Their mind is demented.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
They got mental problems.
Jesus.
Huh?
Yes.
But not Jesus.
No.
Jesus don't forget nothing.
No.
He knows all the hairs on your head. He knows every cell in your body. When one dies, he brings one back to life. Nobody can do that but Jesus, right? That's why you want to establish a relationship with Jesus. Forget these other relationships. These folks don't want to do you right. Maintain your integrity. Do what you were supposed to do. Keep your mind on Jesus. Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. And shake the dust from your feet and move on, right? Life is too short. Life is too short. My soul is too important. Eternity is too long, right? That's the truth, saints. So these folks try to come up to you talking about traditions and want to put the word down. See, if you pay attention, that's what they're doing. They're trying to put the word of God down and make you pay attention to traditions. Well, my mom and my daddy, we always did it like that, but that's not what the word says. At the end of the day, I got to do what the word says to me. What does the word say to me? Come on, saints. That's right. You can't let nobody that don't have the word inside of them tell you what the word says. Not when you've been born again. Now, I see if you tarry it and you don't have the Holy Ghost and they ain't got no Holy Ghost, then you just like two blind people falling in the boat, you're going to fall into a ditch. But if you tarrying and you're trying to receive the Holy Ghost, you should be following behind those that are righteous. You should be clinging to them. You should be doing what they do. That's true. When you were tarrying for the Holy Ghost, when you really wanted the Holy Ghost, you had to leave everybody else alone. And you had to follow behind those that were trying to stay saved. And you better listen to what they say. See, the world ain't going to tell you to call Jesus. The world ain't going to tell you to do all that stuff that's going to help your soul. But the saints will say, call Jesus. This stuff is going on in your life. Call Jesus through it. Pray your way through it. Keep lifting up the name of Jesus. Keep your mind on Jesus. Lord bless you to get this and then get that. Praise Jesus. See him in the good times. Saints' message don't change. We say the same thing. Lord done bless me with $500. Thank Jesus. Let's praise Jesus. Let's glorify Jesus.
Right, right.
I ain't got no money, Elder Scott. I'm broke. Let's praise Jesus.
Right.
Let's glorify Jesus.
Right.
Let's talk to the Lord and ask the Lord to bring us through.
Right.
These saints say the same thing over and over again. It's all about lifting up Jesus.
Right.
Putting yourself down and lifting up Jesus.
Right. Right.
He's all of the ingredients that my life needs. Whatever you need is in there, right? It's already in there. Everything you need is in the name Jesus. I don't care what it is, you need it. It's in the name Jesus. Don't you accept no substitute. Don't you look for a substitute. Remember, if you look for something that you don't think is in the name, you'll pull that ingredient out. And you'll replace it with something carnal. And you're going to wonder, why am I not getting what Jesus promised me? Jesus said, you done pulled me out. You done pulled out what I promised you. Lord said, I'll be an everlasting follower to you. That's relationship. Forget husband. Forget wife. Forget son. Forget daughter. You need an everlasting. relationship. With who? With Jesus, right? That's the truth, saints. Don't let the world put the word down and try to resurrect or elevate or exalt their tradition. Because first of all, don't you forget who they are. They're sinners. Huh? Sinners can only do what sinners do. All that the sinner know is sin. All that's in their world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. Ain't no Jesus in that. The Lord done told you, I'm not in that. That is of the world. The lust of your father, the devil, you will do, right? Don't be shocked at him. Jesus done told you, that's what they're going to do. But you have to say, I'm coming out of that. Wherefore, come out from among them. And be ye, you be separate. Saith who? Saith your daddy. Saith your God. And he said, I will do what? I'll receive you. And I'll be a father to you. And you will be my what? My sons and my daughters. Come on, read me a little bit more of that in Matthew. You ready to let y'all go?
And it says here, for God commanded saints, honor thy father and mother. And he that cursed the father and mother.
Come on. I want you to understand this. I want you to get this fixed in your mind, brother, sister. Don't you let the devil fool you.
Right.
Don't you let the devil think you're going to get by dishonoring and disrespecting the figures of authority that Jesus placed in your life. Huh? He put a mama and a daddy in front of you. And he told you to do what? Honor them. Huh? Honor them and curse them not. Don't you let the devil put it in your mind that you cannot stand your mama and your daddy. Don't you let the devil put it in your mind to wish evil on your mama or your daddy. Why? Because Jesus said you're going to die today. I didn't say it. It's in your book. He said he that curses mother and father shall die to death, right? He ain't promised that fella no life.
Nope.
Huh? See why you got to pay attention to what you do.
Right.
Forget about what people say. You better pay attention to what you do. You are accountable for your own actions. You are responsible for the decisions that you make in your life. Huh? Come on, read a little bit more.
And it says, but he said, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift. By whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me.
Keep going.
Not his father.
See, you're trying to give.
Right.
You're trying to give over your disrespect. You're trying to give over your dishonor. Say, I'm going to treat my mom and daddy like dirt, but I'm going to give them flowers. I'm going to talk to them any old kind of way, but I'm going to give them gifts. You can't do that. Lord said, no. Don't you try to honor them with gifts.
Right.
But your attitude, your speech, it kills them.
Yeah.
It kills their spirit.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
Come on, saints. Shame on you. You have a conversation with your mother and father, and by the time you get off that phone with them, their hearts are broken. Shame on you.
Right.
You should be doing everything you can do to make them feel good, right?
Right.
That's the truth. You are a heartache to that mother.
Right.
You are a heartache to that father.
Jesus.
You have become a burden when you should be a blessing. Come on, saints.
Yes.
So much so they don't even want to answer the phone when you call. Because they know you're bringing them nothing but a bunch of trouble.
Yeah.
Nothing but a bunch of misery.
Yeah.
When I should be living out the end of my days in peace, you caused me nothing but heartache, nothing but pain. Jesus said, you're going to die to death. Jesus said, you're going to be cursed and you're going to die to death, right?
Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
I didn't say it. The book said it, right? Scripture said, but you say, whosoever shall say to his father and mother, it is a gift. By what? Whatsoever?
Thou mightest be profitable.
Keep going.
And honor not his father or his mother.
See, you're trying to give, but don't honor.
Right.
Huh? You're trying to give, but you don't honor them. Huh?
Uh-huh.
Keep going.
Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect.
What did you do to the word? You made it of none effect. Now, how you going to be saved if you make the word powerless? Huh? What can save you? Nothing but the word of God.
Right.
Huh? What can deliver you from sin? Nothing but the word of God.
Right.
Stand fast authority. When with Jesus Christ has made you free, and don't be entangled again in that yoke of bondage. The yoke of bondage is sin, right? That's the truth, saints. Yoke of bondage is sin. And the devil would love to bring you back up under the control of the thing that Jesus freed you from. Huh? Is that what the scripture say? Huh? You're going to make the word of God of none effect. By your what? Traditions. The Lord called you a hypocrite. Huh? A hypocrite is somebody that says and don't do. You talk a good game, but you're doing nothing. Your actions don't speak, line up with your words. Your actions and your words have to line up, right? Saying all the right stuff. I praise Jesus. I worship Jesus. But where are you? Huh? I want to be saved. But where are you? Huh? Oh, I couldn't come. Well, you ain't got no mind to be saved. Because you do what you want to do. Huh? At the end of the day, you do what you want to do. You best believe it. You get sick enough, you get up out of your bed of affliction, and you walk to the doctor. You do what you want to do. Doctor say you need this medicine, you take your sick self to the pharmacy, and you get that medicine, right? You do what you want to do. But say, it was our time for service. I can't come to church. What's wrong with you? I'm sick. I'm afflicted. But where did you go yesterday? To the doctor's, to the pharmacy? And then, you know, I had to go get me some soup and some potatoes and some orange juice to take care of my body. But you couldn't drag yourself into the temple of the Lord for 1 hour and pray to the God that can do what? Heal you. That doctor can't heal you. But Jesus is a what? He's a healer. See, as I said, you do what you want to do. And that's your God-given right. But at the end of the day, don't be just talking about how much you love the Lord. Because the Lord going to look at you and call you a what? A hypocrite. Why? Because you say and do not. Huh? These people draw a mind of me with their mouth. I didn't even know that was right there. But the Lord know we needed to hear this. What does a hypocrite do? It draws nigh with their mouths. They know what to say. But how to what? How to do it? Their heart, their motives, their reasoning is far from Jesus, right? And who know you better than the Lord? The Lord know you better than anybody else. The Lord going to bring you into judgment with him based on the things that you, what you do. Huh? Remember the rich man? He said, Abraham reminded him, remember in your lifetime the choices and the decisions that you made. Huh? The things that you, what you do. Read a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. And it says, they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me.
Yes.
But in vain they do worship me.
Yes.
Teaching for doctrine the commandments of men.
Uh-huh.
And he called the multitude and said unto them,
the Lord said, hear me and understand, right?
Not that which goeth into the mouth.
Isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth?
What comes out of that mouth?
That defiles him. Because what come out of you is really what's in you. Huh? You keep that stuff fishing around in your mind long enough, it's going to come out. That's what I tell folks all the time. Just listen. Listen to what people say. They're going to tell you really what's going on down on the inside of them. Let that pot get hot enough. Huh? Put some fire. Fire represents trials, temptations, hard times. When them hard times come, you're going to really see what's inside of them. And when you see it, act accordingly.
Yeah, right.
Act accordingly. Don't be fooled by what they say. Pay attention to the things that you see them what do.
Yeah.
Huh? That's what Jesus do. Come on, read a little bit more. I'm going to let y'all go. Because y'all, I don't want y'all to get weary. No, come on, read a little bit more.
The word is not weary. Amen. But it says here, and he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand.
You read that one.
All right.
Verse 12.
Yes. Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended?
Yeah.
After they heard,
well, now if they were so holy and so righteous, why would you be offended? Obviously, your motives was wrong. Remember how they start off? Your disciples need to wash their hands, huh? Saying something holy, the writ. Huh? The writ law, but their hearts and minds was wrong. Huh? Folk can quote the writ all day long, but their hearts and minds was what? Was wrong. Therefore, when righteousness call you out, you can't stand it. You get what? You get offended. You done stepped on my toe, Elvis, because I ain't step on your toe. The word did. Huh? The word of God done found you out, right? And it's telling you to do what? Repent. Change your ways, right? Huh? Oh, you talking about me? I ain't talking about you. The word is talking about you. Huh? That's the truth, saints. Read a little bit more. I'm going to let you go. Come on.
It says here, but he answered and said,
every plan
which my heavenly Father have not planted shall be rooted.
Do y'all understand that? Some people are in the dirt that were not planted by Jesus. Huh? The dirt of the church. Huh? The church world. Huh? That's why you better be praying, Lord, let me be rooted and grounded in you. Because if I'm a fake plant, if I'm trying to deceive the saints, Lord said, I'm going to uproot you. They're going to be here today and gone today. And you're going to say, what happened to them? The Lord plucked them up, right? And nobody but the Lord got rid of them. Keep reading a little bit more. Leave those that Jesus plucked up. How you need to treat these folk? Leave them alone. Huh? Don't you mix in it. Don't you mess up. Don't you get yourself in that mess. Let the blind do what?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. What's going to happen to that fella?
Oh, yeah.
Leave, just leave them alone. Leave them alone. You're going to see their true colors. And you're going to see the Lord's judgment. Huh? That's the true sense. You stand fast. You stay where the Lord put you at. You let your heart and your mind be fixed in truth. Don't be wavery. Don't be here a little and there a little. Stay fixed in Jesus. You can't go wrong when you stay fixed in Jesus. Stop substituting the ingredients that the Lord put in his name with carnal stuff and asking the Lord to bless you anyway. Your soup ain't going to taste right. Huh? Lord, know just how this soup is supposed to taste. You mess around and say, well, I'm going to take this garlic out and I'm going to put some green peppers. And the Lord said, this ain't no green pepper soup. You're going to slip and say, oh, I don't understand why my soup tastes like this. Because you done took the ingredients out. Did you do what I said for you to do? I did it the way I wanted to do it because I like green peppers. Well, stop complaining about how the soup tastes. Obviously, the way you're doing it ain't right. But I like the way your soup tastes. Well, you should have did it the way I fixed it. I gave you the ingredients. Stop doing stuff the way you want to do it. Right? I try to be as plain as I can say. Read a little bit more.
And it says here, then answered Peter and said unto him,
explain to us this parable, Jesus. Keep going.
There are ye also without understanding.
Here you are walking with me and you just as blind as they are. See, that's what happens when you pay attention to ungodly people. They mess your mind up. See, in the beginning of the story, you notice, who were they listening to? These folk that told them they should have been washing their hands. And you should have been paying attention to Jesus. If Jesus didn't say nothing about washing your hands, why are you going to worry about somebody else telling you to do it? Do y'all understand that? Listen to Jesus. You can't go wrong, right? You mess yourself up. You go home and start talking to folk that don't even go to church. Don't even go to church. God knows, and if they do go to church, the church they're going to is wrong. And then you're going to go listen to what? This is what my pastor said. First of all, your pastor need to be saved. Does pastor need to be saved? And you need to be saved. And then see how much they, see what they say after that. Right. The word say they going to get offended.
Yeah. Right.
Here you are talking to me. Don't you forget, I was the one praying for you. Thank you, Jesus, for your mind to pray. Right. But where are you right at now?
Right.
What are you doing right now? Well, I'm at home because I can. Yes, you can. Last I checked yesterday, you was all out and about. But this morning, now you're in so much pain. Maybe you should have stayed in yesterday and used all your energy today to come serve the Lord. Just maybe. That's just a thought, right? That's just a thought, right? Read a little bit more, but I got to get ready for Thanksgiving. No, you need to get ready for the coming of the Lord. You talking about Thanksgiving, you need to get ready for the coming of the Lord. Meat is for the belly, and the belly is for meat, but the Lord going to destroy both of them. But where will your soul be? Our soul don't get fat off no turkey, but it needs the word of God, right? That's the truth. Come on, read a little bit more. I'm closing it up. Yes? That's right. That's right. See, the Lord has a filtration system. Jesus' filtration system works. Use the tools that the Lord gave you. It go in your mouth. It go in your belly. Your belly breaks it down. It keeps the nutrients. It gets rid of the waste, right? Huh? That's when it works like it's supposed to. But let's see when it's off.
Right.
Let's see when things don't go the way it's supposed to go. Keep
and
going.
Those things that you see out, those things that proceed out of the mouth come forth
from the heart. See, that's what folk are trying to repent from their belly, and they ain't trying to repent from their heart.
Right.
Huh? Y'all understand what I'm saying? Repent from their belly.
Right.
Well, they're trying to repent from the carnal stuff,
right.
But they ain't trying to change their what? Their mind. Huh? You trying to put the liquor bottle down, but you ain't changing your mind that caused you to pick the liquor bottle up. Huh? So you say, I don't drink no more. I don't do that stuff no more, but you're still evil. You're still wicked. You're still nasty. You're still miserable. You're still blind, right? You might as well go back up and pick up the liquor. At least when you was drunk, I could talk to you.
Right.
But because you ain't changed your what? Your mind. Huh? Folks want to say, why is it taking me so long to receive the Holy Ghost? Because you ain't changed your what? Your mind. And how do we know your mind ain't changed? Because I pay attention to what come out of you. Huh? It's the things that proceed from the heart that come out of him that defiles the man. For out of the heart proceedeth what?
Evil thoughts.
What come out that heart?
Evil thoughts, murders, adultery, fornication.
You be looking and say, well, how in the world did that brother or that sister start fornicating and start adultery when they was just in here praising the Lord? Because they was doing it with their body. But their mind wasn't right. Huh? See, the Holy Ghost wants to come in and control your what? Your mind. If you keep your mind on Jesus, he'll keep you in what? Perfect peace. That's the promise, isn't it? That's a promise. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the what? See, I can tell when your affections are on the earth. Because all that come out of your heart is what? Earthly things.
Right.
And what does the earth sound like? Evil thoughts.
Yeah.
Murderers. Adultery. Fornication.
Yeah.
What else? Thefts.
False.
Lying.
Blasphemy.
How you going to respect? Now that's the beginning of the lesson. How you going to learn how to respect Jesus and you can't even respect your mom and your daddy?
Right.
It don't add up. You got to go back and lay some good foundation. I mean, break up some stuff. I think Darren was quoting that scripture this week. Sow unto yourselves and what? Righteousness. Break up your fallow ground. It's time to do what? Seek the Lord. Fallow ground is that hard dirt. That dirt you can't do nothing with. You going to put all the seeds you want in that hard dirt. Ain't nothing going to come forth from it. Because the dirt is too hard.
Right.
That's like you putting a seed in some concrete. Ain't nothing going to come forth from it. So this is the same way that the Lord is telling you to break up your stony heart. And receive with what? With meekness. That engrafted word which is able to do what? Save your soul. All right? I think I'm done. Did you finish it up?
Are the things which defile man, but to eat with
so you notice that verse goes completely against verse number 1. Yeah. See, the Lord's ways are not our ways.
Right.
His thoughts are not our thoughts. So when the Lord instituted to wash your hands, he wasn't talking about the physical hands. See, the writ of the law versus the what? The spirit that is behind it? Huh? You're talking about doing right and wanting to do right, but look at your attitude. Huh? It's just, if I, it ain't no difference if I'm, I'm gonna pick on mother this morning. She's our senior member, and I'm her child. Mother's Day. Oh, happy Mother's Day, mother. Thank the Lord for you. Did I give her a gift?
No.
Did I give her a gift? But what was the spirit behind it? It was the wrong motive. The spirit behind it was wrong. See, you can give a gift with the wrong spirit. And this is what the Lord is saying. You're trying to talk about honor your mother and father, but you're throwing stuff at
them.
It don't add up, do it?
No. And you might as well keep it.
You might as well kept that flower. You would have done better giving it to dogs.
Yeah.
Huh? Because they going to trample over it.
Yeah.
Something to think about, isn't it? That's what I'm trying to get you to understand. The concepts of doing what? Honoring your mother and your father. Don't do it with words. And don't try to hide your wrong, harsh, evil words and motives behind gifts.
Right.
I do. I gave it to her. But what kind of attitude did you have when you did it? What was the spirit behind it? Huh? And the Lord says, you're going to do what? You're going to die the death. I hope y'all got that highlighted in your book, because I definitely didn't intend to go there this morning. But I want you all to understand the concept of when the Lord is trying to establish a relationship with you. You're calling Jesus your everlasting Father. What is that? He's trying to establish a relationship with you. Okay? So keep that before yourselves, saints. Don't devalue the relationships that the Lord has put in front of you. Because remember, they teach you how to treat Jesus. How are you going to say you're going to treat the Lord right, and you can't treat those that the Lord have put what in front of you right? It's something to think about, isn't it, saints? So learn how to treat your neighbor, those relationships that the Lord has put in front of you, those that have been blessed to be parents. As I said, learn how to train your children up in the way that they what? They should go. Demand respect. Demand that they honor you. Don't accept them and say, well, this is my child. No. Demand that they do what? Respect you. And that they respect authority. Because you want them saved. And they will never, never, mark my word, they will never be saved if they have a problem respecting authority. Huh? Mark my word, they will be calling Jesus to the tribulation period. They will miss the rapture. All because they refuse to learn that principle. And this is where, as parents, we must step in and say, no, I demand respect.
Right.
The father of the prodigal son demanded respect.
Yeah.
And when his child left, he let him leave.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you're not going to stay here and disrespect me. And when he came to his senses, he came back with what? The right kind of attitude, right? Lord, just let me be one of your servants, right? I don't even got to be named your child. Just let me be your servant. And see how Jesus will treat you when you come back like you're supposed to? He said, kill the fattest calf. Huh? Put my robe on him, right? That is what? My child. That's my child. And remember, I didn't go out there chasing behind him. When he had a mind to come back, he came back. Right? But at the end of the day, I stayed where I was supposed to be at. Huh? How can your children find you if you keep on moving? And you don't let them know where you are? Be where you're supposed to be at, right? Does that make sense? They should know your pattern. They should know your lifestyle. Where's my mom and my dad? They in church. They're serving the Lord. Well, if I'm trying to get in contact with them, you need to go where they are at then.
Yep, come to the church.
Come to the church. And you will find them right where they were at all along, right? Trust you got something out the word, saints. Hide the word in your heart that you may not sin against Jesus. We said we're going to have a couple of parts on this lesson.